Daly as well. Joining me to talk all things PSG on a big week for them after a cracking weekend bit of action, and to tell us just how good Zlatan Ibrahimovic is PSG expert and French football expert, Mr. John Le Gossip, Jonathan Johnson, joining us here on World Football Daily. John, it's a pleasure to have you back on the show, mate. How have you been? It's been a little bit of time since we had you on. Hope you're well.
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks a lot for having me. It's great to be back.
Hey, we always enjoy taking time out to discuss French football, and discussing French football with you, Jonathan, is just too easy to do. So let's get straight down into the action from the weekend. And we should start really with what was just sensational. Was it luck? Zlatan Ibrahimovic's strike. I'm trying to find a way to describe it. I'm thinking of like a ninja scorpion kick from what I've been able to pull together in my head. An unbelievable strike. Is there a moment of luck, or is it just showing how impressive Zlatan is?
I think what you have to bear in mind with Zlatan and this kind of goal is it's things you've seen him attempt before. We saw him try to score a similar goal last season in Ligue 1 against Brest. Didn't quite come off. It's the kind of thing that we see every now and again from him in various areas on the pitch. He doesn't always get that sort of opportunity in front of goal to pull it off. But you know, I don't think we can debate the genius of Zlatan Ibrahimovic. But it's just the fact that he was able not only to have the audacity to try it, but to actually pull it off and hit and connect perfectly with it and send it into that top corner.
I think that was what baffled me the most when I saw it. The amount of power he gets from a heel flick, flicking his leg around his shoulders, just unbelievable. But then obviously to fight fire with fire in the battle of supremacy of the strikers in PSG, Cavani steps up with just a magical run as well. This PSG front line is starting to fire on all cylinders, and they're doing it in impressive style at the moment.
Yeah, they are, but I think they're doing it individually. They're not doing it together as a duo just yet, and that's what Laurent Blanc is now going to have to work on going into tomorrow's Champions League game against Anderlecht. It's the perfect opportunity for Blanc to pair Ibrahimovic and Cavani together and really, with all due respect to Anderlecht, you know, sort of get them playing well together against an opponent that shouldn't really pose them that many problems. Yeah, Cavani's goal at the weekend was absolutely superb. I'm not going to say that I think it was better than Ibrahimovic's, because I think when you see a goal of the caliber of Ibra's, it's very difficult to argue with that being the best goal of the weekend, although there were some superb efforts all around Europe. But the thing that struck me most about Cavani's was Cavani is not a player renowned for his ball control and his dribbling skills, and that is what made the goal so much more impressive. It was just a superb finish, and I think you saw Ibrahimovic's reaction after Cavani had scored that when he was sat on the bench. You know, and I think that's the signal from Cavani to say to Ibrahimovic, you know, anything that you can do, I can do this just as well. And it, in a way, it's kind of Cavani now gaining Ibrahimovic's trust and confidence, you know, showing him that he is able to do similar things.
Do you think there is that level of competition? You mentioned that this attack is working well as individuals. Do you think that level of competition is raising Cavani and Ibrahimovic's game slightly, or at least Cavani's, to kind of show he's got more in his pocket than just being the natural finisher that we saw him at Napoli?
Yeah, I think it raised his game on Saturday, you know, coming on in the second half, knowing that he had to follow on from Ibrahimovic's two-goal salvo in the space of 3 minutes. And I think that Ibrahimovic has raised his game since Cavani's arrival, but he's also adapted to his new role in the team when Cavani and him are both on the pitch at the same time, better than Cavani has adapted to his for the moment. Ibrahimovic is able to be the creator when he wants to be. Cavani is still learning how to play on that right-hand side of the front three. It shouldn't be as much of a problem for him, given that he plays in that position, but on the left-hand side for Uruguay, but playing on a different side, having to get used to his new teammates and playing in a system that's not that similar to the one that he played in at Napoli has its challenges. And I think that Cavani has dealt well with it. You've got to remember that he's now on 6 goals for the season, just one behind Radamel Falcao in the chase for the top scorers chart in Ligue 1. So for me, I think that, yes, there is an element of competition between Ibrahimovic and Cavani, but it will eventually be healthy competition. At the moment, it's sort of sparring if you like. But there will come a moment, perhaps even on Wednesday against Anderlecht, where the two players finally discover that spark between them.
Now, the individualism in this PSG side is something that's been discussed over the last two seasons before this year. Is Laurent Blanc doing anything to turn this side into an actual team again? Because even last year, we were talking to people who were saying that they felt that this was a group of individuals who happened to be able to get it done, as opposed to it looking like a team effort throughout the season. Do you think it is slowly becoming organically more of a team?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was that slowly becoming a team effort now. What Laurent Blanc has done since arriving in the summer is nothing short of, I wouldn't say miracle working, given the amount of money that's been spent on that team. But he's completely changed the chemistry between the players. The formation change has played a large part in that. PSG now play a 4-3-3 formation, something that Ancelotti tried in his time at PSG but was never able to succeed with. But Blanc's also got PSG playing entertaining football. You watch PSG and you're no longer bored just waiting for that spark, that bit of individual skill to lead them through a game like they used to have with the likes of Nini, and then they have had last season with Ibrahimovic. It's now more of a team effort in every game. And the thing with PSG is that they're now winning every game so convincingly. And recent performances against Marseille, against Benfica, then against Bastia, just suggest that this team is getting stronger and stronger. And I think the most important thing that Blanc has done since taking over as PSG coach is he's managed to instill such a high level of expectation ahead of each performance within this team that even an average showing from this PSG side is now too strong for the majority of their opponents.
There were many people that were kind of almost disgruntled by what went on with PSG and the managerial changes, obviously holding out for so long, hoping that Leonardo's suspension would be reduced, and obviously it got extended. And Blanc coming in, and he's got that one-year option on the contract as well. It's impressive from Laurent Blanc as a manager, considering the situation that he's walked into, that he's still been able to garner the respect and control of this side filled with stars.
Yeah, this is very impressive. I don't think people expected him to have this sort of impact on the team. I think many people were expecting him to fail, but for Blanc, it was it was kind of a win-win situation for him, really, because if he comes in, does well, and loses his job, he's going to be seen as the victim, and PSG will be seen as the aggressors and just hungry for a big name coach to be sat on the bench. But if he succeeds, gets the team playing well, as he has got them doing at the moment, he then stands a chance of having the job from the end of this season onwards.
Elsewhere, obviously, in Ligue 1, Jonathan, because there's plenty to talk about, and we've got the Champions League games coming up, PSG taking on Anderlecht, but Marseille have got a very tough tie coming up this evening against Napoli, a Napoli side that lost on the weekend to Roma, but Marseille as well not getting the job done against Nice. A couple of stumbles, obviously, against PSG, which is a difficult game, and then Nice, which maybe Marseille might be a little bit disappointed about this weekend.
Yeah, I think they would have been disappointed losing that game. But at the same time, when you come up against a Nice side with David Ospina and Dario Svitanic in such inspired form, going to the Allianz Riviera, which is a fantastic new stadium for Nice, is no easy place for any team to go. Nice, even when they were at the Stade du Ray, were very, very difficult to beat since Claude Puel has come in. He's made the team very dangerous, vibrant, completely different to the Nice sides that we knew before his time at the club. And they're now really turning into candidates for European qualification once again. But as far as Marseille go, it's been a really disappointing last month or so for them. Started with the defeat at home to Monaco, then they've also lost to PSG and now losing to Nice as well. Those two defeats in the Champions League have really brought Elie Boob's tenure at the club into question. And I think, depending on what the scoreline is, if they were to lose heavily against Napoli, it wouldn't surprise me to see the Marseille board make a decision to get rid of Boob, because it just looks like he's not the coach capable of leading the club forward. Boob is a good coach technically, but he excels with limited resources. I think for him, it's been a massive struggle to adapt to the new level of talent that's been brought into this team in comparison to the side that he was coaching last year. He had next to nothing left to him after the Didier Deschamps era. And so for him to take a team from 10th in Ligue 1 to 2nd last season was massive overachievement. And I think that's now working against him because expectations have been raised to such a level that it's impossible for Marseille to live up to it. And I honestly think that it's a bit flattering for them to even be in the Champions League this season.
And they obviously had those first three wins in the season as well before that loss to Monaco. I mean, was the calibre of opposition, was that maybe not taken into account enough with those first three wins? Because people were getting awfully excited about Marseille when they went 9 points from nine at the start of the season.
Yes, I think to a degree people did get carried away. But at the same time, Ligue 1 is not an easy league to dominate. A team going through the season unbeaten is not a common occurrence. You'll see the big teams, and I'm sure it'll happen to PSG at some point this season, perhaps even on Sunday at Saint-Etienne, will go away from home and come up against opposition so motivated to play against these big sides that upsets are inevitable. We saw that again last weekend with Monaco when they travelled to Sochaux, go 2-0 up inside 10 minutes against a team with limited quality, but plenty of fighting spirit, you know, wanting to impress new coach Hervé Renard. They come back from 2-0 down and all of a sudden people are asking questions over Monaco's potential title credentials. So I think it was slightly deceiving the start of the season for Marseille, but recent results have shown that they're not yet ready to challenge for the title, despite the claims of Steve Mandanda this week saying that he still thinks that Marseille are capable of challenging Monaco and PSG.
What about challenging Napoli tonight? I mean, it's kind of getting into do or die time for them and their Champions League hopes.
Oh, absolutely. And I honestly don't see them getting the win that they would need to keep any hopes of progress from this group stage alive tonight. I think they're going to struggle to score enough goals to win the game. And I also think that if they don't win their remaining home fixtures in the Champions League, they're not even going to be able to qualify for the Europa League, which would be a massive blow.
Jonathan, obviously you mentioned that Monaco result against Sochaux, and still baffling though for it to have taken place. Monaco have started so well, and you and a number of guests that we've had on the show have been extremely impressed by how quickly they've taken to Ligue 1 football, especially in the tough fixtures. This is a bit of a sting in the tail for them, to say the least, isn't it?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise for them, but I don't think it's something that many people would have been too shocked by, given Monaco's recent form. You've got Falcao, who's struggling for goals at the moment, hasn't scored now in three matches. The team very reliant on his goals to try and kill off games. And the midfield still hasn't quite clicked. You have the likes of James Rodriguez, who has looked superb in fits and starts in Ligue 1, but certainly hasn't adapted to the French style of play at the moment. And they're still bedding in the likes of Geoffrey Kondogbia. They've also had Jeremy Toulalan absent. Hal Moutinho missed a number of games at the start of the season through injury. And for a while, their best two players were Yannick Ferreira-Carrasco and Lucas Ocampos out wide. I think the big difference against Sochaux was the absence of Eric Abidal in the centre of defence, and also something that has probably gone unnoticed by many people who aren't familiar with Ligue 1 on a week-to-week basis, is there's been a superb revelation so far this season at left-back for Monaco, a guy by the name of Levin Kozawa, and his absence over the last couple of weeks has really hit Monaco hard as well. So I think it was a combination of things, but the result is an indication that despite what people think, that Monaco are already in position to challenge PSG for the title. I think this result demonstrates that some restraint is needed with those claims.
And just finally, Jonathan, before we let you go, obviously we've taken up far too much of your time already, but there's one I really want to talk to you about. We always talk in the Premiership. Last year it was West Bromwich Albion, this year it's Southampton flying high. A new boy to Ligue 1 once again, Nantes, back in the top flight, and fourth place after 10 games. Miracle or really fair credit to a Nantes side that are pulling out all the stops?
I think it's a bit of both. It's slightly miraculous in the fact that they came up from Ligue 2, hardly spent a penny, given that they've had some transfer struggles over the last couple of months. There was an embargo placed on them for a while. But you also have to bear in mind that there is such quality, such young quality in that team. Nantes are, outside of the likes of Lens and perhaps Monaco, one of the most prolific teams in France in terms of producing young talent. You just have to look in the team at the moment. You've got the likes of Jordan Veretout, who's coming through in the midfield at the moment. And it's a team that has not really changed that much from the one that got them promoted from Ligue 2. And they have a talented goal scorer in Philippe Georgievich up front, who incidentally has decided against renewing his contract, which means that he is now available to talk to clubs in January over a potential free transfer. So if Nantes decide to cash in on him in January, we could well see the end of this upturn in form for them.
It will be very tough for the new boys to keep hold of him. What kind of level could he go and play at, Djordjevic? Because he's got six so far in the season. You were talking about how Cavani was doing with his six strikes. I mean, still, it's very impressive from the Serbian as well, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is very impressive. And he's leading a team with a lot less quality in it than PSG's. So I think there's plenty of credit to him and to his coach, Michel De Zakarian, for getting the best out of him. I can understand that he has ambitions to and want to play elsewhere. I think from a personal level, leaving Nantes in January is perhaps will perhaps be a mistake, unless he was moving within the league. I think that Georgievich is a player of great potential. He's a late bloomer. He's in his mid-20s now, but I think he still has some way to develop. And for me, the natural progression for him is to join a team that will be playing European football, whether that involves him waiting until the summer so that he's free and then Nantes can't make any money off of his transfer. We'll have to wait and see. Obviously, Nantes will be very keen to either tie him down to a new contract if no suitors come forward in January, or they will want to try and get at least some compensation for his sale and probably try to sell him in January, in which case we might see him move to a foreign club, which I think would be a mistake for the player, but would probably be the right thing for the club. So we'll have to keep an eye on that over the next couple of months and see whether he renews his contract before January or not.
Well, let's hope for the sake of the club that they don't get stiffed and they are able to at least pick up a healthy bit of cash and maybe a chance to try and bring in somebody in January to replace Djordjevic. Jonathan, it's an absolute pleasure to have chatted with you today, man. We always appreciate you taking the time out to join us on World Football Daily, and always appreciate exactly what you have to say as well, guiding us through French football so well. So we do thank you greatly, man. Enjoy the Champions League football tonight and tomorrow as well.
Will do. Thanks a lot for having me on, and speak to you soon.
Cheers, Jonathan. Thanks very much. Jonathan Johnson there joining us here on World Football Daily, talking all things French Ligue 1 football. You can follow John at @John_LeGossip, capital J, capital L, capital G. That's @John_LeGossip, capital J, capital L, capital G, and of course a double S in gossip. John, an absolute treasure to have here on WFD. Always good for talking a little bit of French football. Marseille taking on Napoli tonight. PSG have a reasonably easy encounter against Anderlecht. Anderlecht yet to score a point in the Champions League football.